This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
More and more councils are requiring cats to be contained by introducing cat curfews, and some are also requiring cats to be contained 24 hours a day. I've got to admit, I had two cats. Both of them were contained in a cat run that was connected to a cat door, so they could go outside whenever they wanted, but they couldn't leave the property. And I tell you what, my vet bills went right down once I installed it. We might assume that all of the cat owners are up in arms about the controls, but a recent survey has shown some surprising results. Jana Dielenberg is from the University of Melbourne and is a spokesperson for the Biodiversity Council. Jana, welcome to Drive.
Oh, g'day, Warren.
Are you a cat owner?
Yeah, I am actually. I have a cat that's also kept contained indoors.
So I assume your vet bills are a lot lower as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was a lot younger and didn't know as much as I know now, I did have a cat that we let out. Mm. This is about 20 years ago in Melbourne, and he was forever at the vets with needing expensive surgeries to drain abscesses and things like that, because he'd get bitten by other cats in cat fights. And we decided that if we ever got a cat again, it would 100% be indoors. And this cat, other than his kitten vaccinations, hasn't been to the vet once.
Fantastic. Do we know how many pet cats are out there?
Yeah, the population of cats in Australia, pet cats, has been growing really steadily, and especially over COVID when everyone went out and got a pet to keep them company, it really jumped up. And so now it's over 5.3 million cats in Australia, and there are just over a million pet cats just in Melbourne.
That's amazing. So what are the benefits of confining cats indoors apart from the lower vet bills that we just mentioned? What else?
Yeah, so there's kind of three kind of key reasons why it's a great idea if everyone who has a pet cat keeps it contained. One is definitely the fact that your cat will live a longer and healthier life. But there are two other key reasons. One is it stops them hunting wildlife. Mm. So in Melbourne, every day you have over 150,000 native animals killed by cats.
150,000?
Yeah. So a million cats, that means not a cat, each cat that's allowed outside isn't hunting every day. But there's been extensive research on this using things like video collars and looking at cat poo analysis and surveys of owners. And they found that 4 out of 5 cats that are allowed outside will hunt. And those cats on average kill 2 to 3 animals a week. Mm. And so the numbers stack up to be about 110 native animals killed per pet cat each year. And then in our urban areas, some additional animals that are things like introduced mice. But so given that we have so many pet cats, like we can have up to 100 pet cats per square kilometre in the suburbs, it just means they put a lot of pressure on any native wildlife that's really struggling often anyway to hold on when they've got those cats around and hunting. And then the other reason that's much less known, but it's actually a reason why you would think that even governments would be really supportive of getting behind getting people to contain their cats more, is there are several diseases that can only exist in the community because of cats.
Oh.
Things like toxoplasmosis. It's a parasite that has to complete its life cycle in the gut of a cat. But then cats go out and they might poo in your yard. And if you're gardening or your kids in the sandpit, there are these little tiny parasitic eggs that they can pick up on their hands. And if they touch their mouth, they eat it. There are a couple of other diseases, similar kind of things. They can't exist without cats. And so in the case of toxoplasmosis, most really sort of healthy people don't realise they've got it, or they just thought it was a flu or a cold. They didn't realise that's what it was, because the symptoms can look similar. But particularly if someone's immune compromised, or maybe they're having chemo, or if you're just sort of unlucky, it can put you in hospital. You can also die from it. And I think that's why there's such a big health bill. So across the three diseases that impact humans that are spread in Australia by cats, about 8,500 people are put in hospital each year and over 500 people die. But the most surprising thing from these diseases that people find really remarkable is that particularly with toxoplasmosis, even though you might not have even realised you'd had it, you can leave a little cyst in your brain and it subtly affects your behaviour. Studies have found that it slightly increases your risk taking and slightly reduces, your reaction times, which makes you at slightly greater risk of having a car accident. And it's also been linked to mental health issues like schizophrenia and even increased suicide rates. But people often don't realize they've been, exposed. And in fact, in Australia, because we have so many cats, different studies have found that between about 22% and 66% of the population have actually been, have had toxoplasmosis, and they may or may not have the cyst. So like I said, most people who get it don't realize, and they might not have any really strong symptoms, but it certainly can be really traumatic for some people.
Which is really interesting, because I've thought when I read that, there's potentially we can link, cats being outside and the spread of toxoplasmosis to car accidents. I thought it was because people are hitting cats that are running across the road because there's so many that are let out during the day. And I'm sure, there probably does cause some accidents if you do swerve, but I didn't realise that the actual toxoplasmosis is what's responsible potentially for these increase in accidents.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's because it slightly reduces your reaction time and slightly increases your risk-taking behaviour.
What are many councils adopting containment laws? Do we know how many?
So across Australia, a survey we did of local governments found that about a third had introduced some level of containment requirement. Some councils, that was just a night curfew. In other councils, it was 24 hours. And many, like Geelong City Council, have had a night curfew in place for a number of years, and now they've surveyed the community and they've decided to make that a 24-hour curfew. It's becoming increasingly common. I'd say in the last 5 years, a lot of local governments have introduced this, particularly in Victoria and the ACT. It's more common. But we're really emphasising that changing the law and just having the rule is an important step, but it's not the total answer, because you also need your local government to communicate those law changes really effectively with the whole community, make sure people understand what it is and why. You need them potentially to help some segments of the community to transition. So maybe you've had a cat that's been going out all of the time, and say you might not have fly screens, and so you've got no way of keeping your cat in without keeping your house locked up all the time. And so it could be that in some councils, they might for a year or two offer rebates to help people with setting up things they might need, or like a cat run. And then ultimately, once the community all knows what's expected, has had time to get on board, we need councils to actually go around and monitor and enforce the rules, because otherwise, if people could just ignore it, and then it's also not fair to the community, the people who are doing the right thing. And actually, it's like full credit to the many, many cat owners who already keep their cats contained, even in the areas where they haven't been told they have to, because 42% of cat owners in Australia already choose to keep their cats contained. And that's because, in particular, because of those benefits to cats in terms of the cat's own welfare, but also because of the wildlife concerns, which is a concern for everyone in the community, and possibly some people also doing it because they don't want their cats bringing home diseases.
We're chatting with Jana Dielenberg from the University of Melbourne, who's a spokesperson for the Biodiversity Council, about the increased support for banning pet cats from roaming and how it would save millions of native animals. So the whole myth of, I'm going to get a cat because I'll keep the mice down, it's just, we've just busted it. They don't keep the mice down. They keep the native animals down, don't they?
Well, they might catch some mice, but the majority of wildlife in our suburbs and across the country is still native animals. And the vast majority of our birds that you might get in your garden around your suburb are natives, and almost all of the reptiles. With mammals, we do see, you know, slightly more, but it's introduced animals, but it's still mainly native animals that are being hunted. And even in terms of mice, even the idea that, you know, you might have a farm cat even in the country to keep the mice down, it doesn't really make a big difference to the number of mice, because how many mice you have in the environment is actually much more driven by how much food is around them. And so if mice have got easy access to food, it doesn't matter how many cats you've got. And if you've got no food around that's accessible for the mice, well, you're not going to have any mice even if, you know. So actually there are other things in the environment that have a much bigger influence rather than whether or not there's a cat.
Yana, I lost a friend recently because they sent me a message of a photo of all these kittens. Their cat had kittens, and I went back and said, oh my goodness, you know, what are you going to do? Well, there's enough cats. We don't need more cats. You should have had your cat de-sexed. They didn't like me telling them that they needed their cat de-sexed, and I haven't heard from them since. So that's something we need to consider too, isn't it?
I mean... In the same way that we had decided before we got this cat that what it meant to own a cat today is to keep it contained, which doesn't just mean locking it up, it means giving that cat a rich life. And so, you know, they have natural instincts of wanting to run and chase and pounce on things. And so in the evenings when he's feeling frisky, we throw little bits of dry, it's actually little dry dog food, so they roll the best down this long corridor we've got, and he runs and jumps on them. And so it is about being prepared to keep your cat contained when you decide if you're going to have a cat, and it's also then making sure that you give that cat a good life inside while minimising the impact that it has on your neighbours, on the environment, by not just letting it roam.
And the other thing is, most people listening, I mean, are in agreement, aren't they, from the survey result?
Yeah, we found that 66% of people support when we asked them, should pet owners be required to keep pet cats contained to their property? 66% of people said they support it. Only 8% of people were opposed, and the remaining 26%, or sort of a quarter of people, said they didn't have an opinion either way. I think the really interesting thing in that finding is about a third of people own a cat, but only 8% of people are opposed to the idea of containing them. So it actually means that the vast majority of cat owners also either support the idea or at least wouldn't mind if it got brought in.
Jana, great to chat with you. We've run out of time. Simo says they're all using my backyard as a kitty litter tray.
Well, that's why we need more cats kept at home.
Definitely. Great to chat
with
you, Jana. Thanks for joining us on Drive. That's Jana Dielenberg from the University of Melbourne and a spokesperson for the Biodiversity Council.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.